So the topic for the hock this evening, triple hock, I Mirtz Hashem, even though like we're dwindling by numbers, Mirtz Hashem next week will still do something. The topic is Six Flags, Starbucks, and Friendlies. What can I eat? And of course, this is an important topic, as some of you guys will be, I think everybody will be on some Thursday trip. I'll be going tomorrow with the wonderful teens. We'll be hitting Great Adventure. Should be Starbucks, probably would be better. Starbucks. And we'll see. Great Adventure. I know. Right? It was there last year. And there's Starbucks, which last year, Momish, I went on the trip with my wife, and we went to the beautiful area over there. What's it called? Harvard Court. I forgot what it's called over there. And we got to see the Cheers there. And there was a Starbucks. And Kahava, my wife hadn't had Starbucks in so many years, being Israeli. She loved Frappuccinos. She said, can I get a Frappuccino?
No, Frappuccinos are not kosher.
And I said, but we discussed Frappuccinos already. I told you 19 years ago, the first day that we got engaged, I told her no more tray Frappuccinos. But I decided to help her out. I went there and I asked to see all the ingredients. The lady was super nice. She let me behind the counter. I put on one of those nice hats and apron. No, and she showed me the Frappuccino. And it came in a huge box. And it was all powder, and it wasn't kosher. Okay, meaning it didn't have hashgacha that I saw, which sometimes these happen. For example, on Friday, I went to a store, and you're not going to like the story, but I went to a store I found. I never knew that there was a true 99-cent store. If you go past Walmart over here, there's right? It's really 99 cents. And they had closeout, all these closeout things. Last week I was there, they had, I couldn't believe this, Poshkiz cookies. I love Poshkiz. 99 cents. Like those are like, so I got because of Shabbos and sandwich cookies. Yeah.
The three rows.
Yeah, throw it out. They sold out. I went back to buy more.
$1?
$1, but I went back. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So this week, then they had also Snyder's. This is not going to believe this. Snyder's tortilla chips. Again, it's because they're like expiring in 2 months. How do I care? And they had Snyder's tortilla chips. Delicious. 2 for $1. Unfortunately, they didn't have hashgacha. But then I saw they were bags. The box. Literally was, you could open the box if you wanted to. It had on an OU. So I was like, oh, start. So we have to ask these questions. So Starbucks is going to be most of our discussion. There are a lot of Rabbanim much, 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 much more qualified than I am. Go on to YU Torah. There's amazing shirim on it. Even if you go to the headlines, David Lichtenstein, I believe his name is. He did a whole thing where he interviews the CRC, who did extensive research. They have an amazing article online where you can go. Right, it was one of the shows on JM. Okay, it's on the Nachum Siegel Network. So after, is it after or before Hock with Hartstein?
You know Simcha,
so,
the guy in the
kitchen? So, yeah. Oh, maybe we get a free book from him, no?
Maybe.
Okay, I'll talk. So you can give out some free books. Anyway, Vayitzei B'sha'as HaPoskim. So there's a lot of stuff over there. We'll discuss it later in this year. I'm telling you, if you really want an extensive review of this, so things literally changed in the last few months. The Star K writes on their website that they were given full access to any store they wanted to go into because I guess Starbucks got wind and that if you write on Google Starbucks kosher, all these articles come up answering all these different things. So they let them in and they found that turns out that all of a sudden now the Frappuccinos are kosher, even though in an interview with Rabbi Fishbein, he said that the Frappuccinos came from like China, some crazy place, and there's a powder they made into a powder which is done through this air drying thing, and that could be with tarfas. It was incredibly interesting, literally, even though I didn't know there would be so little people here. So I spent hours and hours just listening because I thought it was so interesting. So let's start with the first topic. I think it's equally as interesting, and that's the Shiloh of Marasayan. So I guess it's backwards. The friendly Shiloh is that a person goes to friendlies. In my opinion, you have to ask a question. You're sitting in the same booth that people are eating tarfas, right? And you go to a booth and you get ice cream. So why isn't it that we're...
Must not be saying different.
Right. So right. So I said friendlies just because people online know what friendlies is, but yeah, you're right. So Hoppies, one can tie in it. The difference in Hoppies is that when you walk into Hoppies, you see a prominent sign next to today's special ham and eggs. You see that there's a prominent sign that says that Rabbi Bixen is the rabbi that gives on the ice cream. So one could say that takes out Marasayan. What is Marasayan? So there's a lot of sources. Again, this is certainly a shir within itself. Not good enough for a 30-minute shir. But the Mishnah in Shkalim was one of the first sources that I remembered on this. And it talks about Nichnas, when the Kohen Gadol went into, well, the Kohen goes into the Mikdash, and in Kodesh Kodashim, so on and so forth, what were they allowed to have and what they couldn't. So he had to be careful that he couldn't bring in certain things. Couldn't bring in the sandal, and couldn't bring tefillin, any place, a kameya, anything that might lead to people thinking that they put the money in there that they collected for the Beis HaMikdash, for Bedek HaBayis. Why? Lefi, this is again in Shkolim Gimel, Bet, She'adam, source number one, She'adam tzarech latzeit yidei habriyas, kederach she'tzarech. Right, a person has to be careful. Yidei makom she'namar, because the pasuk says Yisim Nekiyim Hashem Yisrael. A lot of people use this Mishnah, but Yisim Nekiyim from the famous pasuk that this was it. The Kohen Gadol, who would be choshesh? The Kohen Gadol, he couldn't have pockets, because maybe they're going to say, look, you know why he's rich? Because he gets to go in the mikdash all the time. He probably takes the money from the stock box. Crazy. And the pasuk of Mitzvah, Matzachin, v'seichel kol be'enei akal adam, that everybody has to look. This couldn't be. That's called chashad. So came up the topic of Marasayin. There are Gemaras that discuss Marasayin. I use this as one of the initial sources because we see that even on the highest of levels, right? You say, well, he's a rabbi, and he went in. It's not good enough. A story that happened to me not that many years ago. We were going down to Baltimore, and we stopped at one of the coffee stops, and I remember there was like a big McDonald's, I think it was Burger King, actually. And I turned around, and all of a sudden, I see Mamish in McDonald's, a Hasidic family eating. I'm shocked. Everybody's shocked. And obviously did a double take. I turn around again, and of course, what do I see? They're eating at McDonald's or Burger King, whatever it was, and they have a full, you know, smorgasbord of kosher food. They got their sandwiches there, their tuna sandwiches. They even put a huge tablecloth there. So clearly, they were not eating tarfas. They were just eating sandwiches. Okay, maybe it's the Chilul Hashem, because I don't think Burger King wants you to have your own meal there. But if you literally, in the days of, you know, our selfies, you could take a selfie with them in the background with a big Burger King sign, went out in Eretz Yisrael, it would have. So why is that not Marasayin? What is Marasayin? The Shulchan Aruch starts with the famous Shiloh that was asked. There's many tshuvas on this. Rav Avadya has a tshuva on this. Moshe Feinstein was famous for this. Source number two, in Besor V'Cholosim and Pei Zayin. So the Ramah says, V'nagul asos chalav mishkedim. You can make almond milk. Right? And you could dip it into your basar vov. You can have it with your basar vov. Hoyel ve'eino rak mid derabanan. Ava basar ve'hema. Yesh la'aniach letzom chalav shekedim. Very interesting. So he says that if a person's going to have his almond milk, and it's going to be next to basar derabanan, it's only going to be by oaf. So he says, then maybe you don't need it. Says the Ramah, if it's meat for sure, because of the isser of basar v'chalav mid deraisa, you should put in some shekedim. Mishum marasayin. Rav Moshe says this, and again, this has changed. Rav Moshe's original tshuva said that when they serve at weddings, whatever it's called, riches whip, or whatever they're serving there, that's obviously parav, that you should either put out the container that clearly says it's parav, or put some almonds in the milk that everybody knows. It's necker that it's marasayin. Many have commented that since then, it's so obvious that there's no marasayin anymore. So the question is, who does marasayin apply to? This is a big shaila, right? Does it apply to the guy that doesn't know what marasayin is? What do I mean? He doesn't know that there's a difference. He doesn't know that there's such thing as. Well, I'll give you an example. This is mamish, I think, a wonderful example. We had in the yeshiva once, we hosted for about a week a program. I won't give the name because this, I guess, most shame around the program. But a program was supposed to be for frumish type of people. We were hosting them. They were coming from Australia, New Zealand, and all these things. Don't get guesses. And they were coming from all these different places. And they ate by us. So we had an amazing chef. And the chef, it was one of the times the guys loved. It was like a taco day. What was taco day? It was, right? So you had fake taco meat. He made it so delicious. With sour cream and all these different things. Right? It's a time you really could have seemed like basura. So all these kids, the Australian kids, New Zealand kids, said, Rabbi, can I ask you a question? I didn't say it like that. Rabbi, what is it? So I said, what? They said, so what's the story here? So we could either choose to either have the meat or the sour cream. We can't put them together, right? Like they were showing how stark they were that they knew what Basar V'Chalav was. And I'm like, no, it's fake meat. They had no idea. So I asked one of the rabbanim there. I said, isn't this Marasayin? So that was the Shaila. Does it go by Stam conservative people who think you're eating Basar V'Chalav because they don't know there's such a thing? So it's interesting, in the whole Starbucks review, so that when they go through it with the CRC, so they say, well, first you have to determine, do I eat Chalav, if I eat Chalav Yisrael? So nowadays, you know, there's a big hawk, everybody likes to have soy milk and almond milk and all this stuff. So you can go to any Starbucks if you're Machman Chalav Yisrael and have a delicious, assuming, we'll get in a moment, if it's kosher, if your latte is kosher, so certainly if it comes to, you can have it with almond milk. So the question is that Marzain? So here it appears that the poskim say that nowadays it's not, because everybody knows at a wedding that when they're serving the dessert, when you have ice cream is a good example. Ice cream is also a shiloh that's asked. And there the answer, they say, everybody knows now. You don't have to put out the container and says, oh, by the way, power of ice cream. So much so everybody jokes about it, you know. The meal's over, say, oh, by the way, you know, we're Dutch. That's why we're allowed to have this. You know, then it depends whose house you're at. I'm like, oh, seriously, man. Right? But that's generally the situation. That's not considered to be Marzain. As an example, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, I have so many possible examples. I don't know which ones to use, so I use them for my own personal benefit. So number three was Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Here in Mincha Shlomo, in Siman Nun Gimel, he writes, Nishalti Mutu Levosh Biyom HaKippurim Na'alim, that looks like regular Shabbos shoes. For example, Payless. He goes to Payless. You know, you can buy shoes there. Man-made shoes, right? They look like leather shoes. They're not, right? So he says, why can you wear them, right? They don't mimamish on a shor. You won't know the difference, right? We're not talking about the Crocs. Ha. So can you do that? You have questions?
Yes.
Yes?
As long as I apply to a meeting, if a non-Jew sees a Jew, is that Marzain too?
Yeah, so it would appear to be that. That's what we're. That's the ikkar question over here.
What's the problem with Payless shoes? I don't have.
So on Yom Kippur, I'm sitting in shul.
Kippur, sorry.
Okay. Sorry. So I'm sitting in shul. So the shaila is, you ask, it's a good question.
If there's a housekeeper who's familiar with Blessed Chol and she works at, you know,
right,
wherever,
right,
how does that mean?
So Mistama, we're talking about people in the know, right? I forgot which one of Rabbanim I was reading up on this. And said, right, obviously this was, a, you know, somebody with a blog, I think, but he's a good rub. And he said, Marzain isn't for stupid people. What does it mean? It means people who are unaware anyway, so anything you're going to have, they're going to question. So a guy, that's what the shiloh is going to be, the famous shiloh, of course, is that you're sitting in a restaurant. So how can you go to the, right, when I, one point in my life, so I was interning once, I think, for example, for Michael Bloomberg. So he took me to the 21 Club. He took me to another treif restaurant. So besides a whole good shiur we could have on what do you eat there and stuff like that, but besides that, how am I allowed to be in there? So a lot of poskim say that nowadays you should dafka walk with your yarmulke, because they actually was, I'll give you a good example, 21 Club is like this fancy schmancy place, and they actually came up to me and said, ugh, it's chaval, they use the word chaval, they said, we have Luigi Siegel's meals, we had the OU meals. We didn't know you were here, take us an hour to warm it up. You know, but if you tell us before, I'm like, it's okay. They don't want me eating there anyway. That was why I was there to take notes. But the shiloh. So see here, he says, but it looks like it. So maybe it'd be aser. That's the definition, the textbook definition of the Gemara. He's doing something that clearly is mutter to him. He knows it's mutter, but to everybody else, it looks like it's aser. That's the definition of aser. And therefore, nirah dahar izeh domeh l'chol advarim shasru chachamim b'nei Marzain. And there, Rishvat haheter shall pass nachris. He says, and we'll get to this in just a moment. He goes, ah, and what about the heter of women allowed to wear shetels that look exactly like their hair? Chashavni shesorim alidei zeh sherov anashim yodim vezeh ladchim. It must be, as we'll see, Rav Moshe Feinstein will say, that the heter of Marzain is most people know. So I asked this question the Shabbos to the teens. So I said to them, I didn't name names, but Shabbos is a great time because all the women are wearing their shetels in camp. I said, Do you know this one? And they're like, I have no idea the difference between hair and the guy said, I don't know who's wearing. So it's a shiloh. Who are we talking about? Women know, so that goes by women or goes by men. So you could tie into that nowadays most guys know that if it's if the girl, I hate to say this, she's a frum girl and she looks, you know, she has a nice long shetel, mistoma, it's probably $3,000 and it's not her hair. It's a strange thing to say. I don't think that's where Moshe meant. But he says, and that's why it would be mutter. Again, he says, isn't it a little bit, doesn't make any sense? On one hand, you're going to tell me that it's mutter to wear a shetel, isn't that Marzain? And on the other hand, you're going to say, oh no, but you can't wear non-leather shoes that look like leather shoes. So he says, because you're able to tell, where's the shoes? Nobody will be able to say, oh, that's Payless. Nobody will know. Shahar be'pam ani eneni yodeh havdel. Because yeah, but I don't personally know the difference, but it's mutter. Right? Fine. He says that's different. And then he just goes into a shuv about a chole, then it would be mutter if these are only shoes they can wear. Go ahead. And maybe shasat chak, you could do this. I once had a situation, I put somebody in a bad situation, because I'm a bad person. We had a meeting when I was working in the Ministry of Defense of Israel. So we had a meeting every year where I was one of the representatives, a liaison between the U.S. Army and the Israeli Army. So we had a big meeting every year where the U.S. Army would come. It was like, oh, everybody was scared. Oh, the Army's coming. Oh. So turned out they invited at the meeting. Turned out to be on Tisha B'Av. So I went to my boss and I said, it's Tisha B'Av. And let's move the meeting. So what did he say to me? Stop already with the Beis Hamikdash. Stop. New 2,000 years. Enough already. We're having the meeting. So I said, okay, I'm not coming. So, okay, he was very unhappy with me. And that meant that the person I co-worked with, she would have to go. She was Jewish. She was from. So she said to me, okay, what am I going to do? She didn't care as much. So she said to me, okay, let's talk. So first of all, we tried to make the meeting after Chatzos. Then we went into all the different shilas. So I told her that I thought that maybe I wasn't a rub there, and I wasn't even, you know, I didn't even think I was the rabbi of the camp. You know, like I was far, far away from any of that. But I went ahead and told her that I thought maybe if she sits in the office chair, you know, those office chairs go up and down, as it go to the all way down level. So you'll clearly be lower than other people. Okay, three, it's fucking fine, but at least you'll know. Then she said, what about shoes? I can't wear sneakers. It's not covered there. So I said, maybe you could wear those Payless non-leather shoes. Nobody will know. So, okay, but Marisai, this is that. Okay, but she, at least she's not over in anything. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked here, this is totally done for my own reasons. Rav Moshe has a number of different tshuvas. He has a tshuva, as I said, about going into a restaurant that's not kosher and things like that. This is one that just came up in my own family. We have it in a week from now. A ufruf of my wonderful cousin, Jonathan. So there was a shiloh over there. He's having the tefillah. He's having Shabbos at a place called the Sephardic Temple, which happens to be one of the few shuls in the entire world that is Sephardic and not Orthodox, right? There's only a few like that. What? What? Right, as I said, Sephardic Temple, I just said that. You got to listen. There's one in California as well. So the Sephardic Temple has now a new entrance. They have a new room, a whole concept. You're not davening there. So here Rav Moshe says, I don't understand. How can it be mutter? Again, understand that this is written a long time. This is actually written to Rav Shlomo Warman. The issue at hand is chashad. What's going to happen? You're going to walk to the shul. You're going to walk in. Siegel's going to say what? You're going to say, I can't believe that Rabbi Hartzman would go to a conservative shul. I knew he wasn't from. Right? Now this would be, by the way, this Rav Moshe Tshuva would be a chashad of, you know, you probably don't know from this, but the high school that I went to, or the junior high school I went to, we had some boys that were bar mitzvah in non-religious, in non-orthodox synagogues.
Where do you go?
So the question is, after. So the question is, well, you have to make me say on the tape. So the question is it mutter? So I went to have a situation. Baruch Hashem, right, it happened to be, it wasn't shot, it turned out to be a whole Gansa Maisa, Nebuch. But it was a whole Shiloh. So there, thank God, our principal came on time. The parents had promised an Orthodox service. It turns out not to be. This is why you don't do it in a conservative shul. The shul promised that this, they're going to make it, that it's going to be this, because they want to respect the kids that are coming for the bar mitzvah, separate seating. So it turned out that they tried separate seating. There was no machitza anyway, so obviously it was not going to be mutter. And then people came in and made a macha. And they said, Chas v'shalom, we want to sit with our wives. I don't know why they wanted to sit with their wives, but they wanted to sit with their wives. So it became mixed, and we had to walk out. And then our principal came, and he says, no, this is not good. And then he said he went downstairs, and he came back home, and he says, guys, I have other bad news for you. Turns out that the kosher caterer that they thought they were getting, they didn't get. The food's not even kosher. So it was really, really bad. But here Rav Moshe says he thinks it's Marisayan. The Asr Ibnei HaChashad. Here the Shiloh was, they're making a separate minyan for Yontif. It's the only shul in town, or temple in town. There's no Orthodox shuls. So they were kind enough and said, you know what, we understand, you want to make an Orthodox minyan? Make it downstairs. So he thinks that it's Asr Ibnei HaChashad. Chashad again, Marisayan. Shenuk Shemahalach Le'avoda Afshiyesh Laharotz. Looks like you're doing something that's wrong. And that's not mutter. The famous shaila in source number 5 we mentioned already is, of course, with the shetel. So this tshuva is very close to my heart because it was written by a teacher that I had in Hefter. His name is Rabbi Lapa. He would call himself Mr. Lapa, David Lapa. I don't believe he's alive anymore. And here he asked this famous shaila. I remember he used to give out stamps. Bulim. He would always give out stamps. He was a Hebrew teacher. And here he writes this famous question. This is a stark shaila. Because you'll see what happens here. It's so cool. And I know the inner pinnings of it. If you didn't know who Mr. Lapa was, you wouldn't know this. So what happened? He asked about his wife. His wife decided she wants to start waiting shaila. Now, guys, we're talking about here. He asked the shaila a long, long time ago, right? Back in the 70s, early 70s. This is in Igros Moshe Eben Ezra Chelik Beis Yud Bet. And he asked, so those shaitals didn't look anything like they look today. So he says, how is she allowed to wear shetel? People are going to go. They're going to think that I'm not from. My wife doesn't cover her hair. Because, yeah, people wore shetels. She's going to tell me it's our Zion. Look what it says in the Ataris of Canaan, the Orachayim. Who says that it's not? Why? Because based on the Rama, the Magen Avraham, the Darkei Moshe, the Prima Gadim, the Gamashu Mihagra, Shesover Kol Shul Iser Mishum Mar Sinai. So there is a Shita. I believe the Prima Gadim has started the Shita. This is fascinating. That says Mar Sinai was written in the Gemara. 1, 2, 3, 4. There are different things in Mar Sinai. Don't start adding things to the Mar Sinai. It's a chiddush gadol. That's not exactly what the Gemara says, but Rav Moshe says we don't make up chashash of Mar Sinai all of a sudden. No chashash.
What are the chashash, Quentin?
What? The Gemara? The Gemara discussed what we said about the state, about the milk, about the basar v'chalav, right? We said about the Mar Sinai, Mesamach Chashad is Mar Sinai. I said about the Kohen going in and stuff like that. So then he says something fascinating. He says, let me ask you another question. What about shaving? Mr. Lapa, you're clean shaven. Why is that not usher? Why won't people come up to you and say, excuse me, how come you use a razor? And he'll say, what do you mean razor? I use a shaver. He says, but it looks like a razor, right? I don't know if they have the tagline anymore. Remington used to be, as close as a blade or your money back, right? Mamish, that you have a shaver that advertises on it. Why is that not my sign? Why? Because everybody knows. Everybody knows that if a guy comes clean shaven, he's probably not a schutz. He probably didn't use a razor. He used a shaver, electric shaver. So he says, you're so from... He says, worry about yourself. Worry about you. It's not Rav Moshe saying this. I'm elaborating. If you knew Mr. Lapa, I think it would be mutter for me to say, worry about yourself. Same thing with the hair covering. People should know. People know. That's it. And we saw this straight out. Rosh Hashanah Zalman says too. There's so much we could discuss here on this topic. Again, we didn't even get to Starbucks yet. We only have 10 minutes. But... that would be one of the inyanim. Again, Rav Moshe, if you go to side number 2, he continues the whole raid. We don't go through far, far long things. And therefore, I don't think your rabbanit has to worry. She could wear the payas nachris, and I don't think it's also. So again, it depends. I do think you're right. It's become a yadua thing, although I don't like it personally, but that people go to these friendly places. Again, we're not talking about kashrus now. We're talking about one issue called marasayan. And they're going. So the same thing would be, you go to an amusement park. So what can a person go ahead and buy? So if he knows, so if a person walks in, so nowadays, I think everybody agrees, even to walk into McDonald's, people buy sodas there. It's a yadua or yadua. Maybe it used to not be that way. But I don't think people, especially if it's at a rest stop, people don't do that. Now it happens to be that in Eretz Yisrael, I don't know if I'm right about this, but many people, because Baruch Hashem, kashrus is so easy, right? Yeah. My son was mentioning, he went to the Syracuse Mall yesterday. He says, I was dying. There's nothing to eat the whole day. Right? There's no mall in Israel that you can't get something kosher, at least. It depends what your kosher standards are. There's always kosher food. So, are you going to tell me it's Mar Sinai to go? People are buying all the time. They're going, they're finding what's kosher or not. Now, it again, as I said, you have a kosher question, but to tell me that it's Mar Sinai to go into, when everybody knows that they're probably, I don't think there's a Mar Sinai question anymore about these type of places. Again, unless you're in a place that nobody knows and everybody's like, what is doing here? And like you said, it doesn't go by the hick in Norwich who goes ahead and sees you in Hoppies and says, you know what? For my son's bar, happens to be his Jew, the Jewish people that live in Norwich also, that live in Oxford, happens to be for my son's bar mitzvah. Maybe we'll make it in Hoppies now because I see that all the Jews go there, right? And he doesn't know the difference between the ice cream and this and that. So I don't think that's not called the Mar Sinai. And therefore, at least for our first Shiloh, I don't think we have as many issues. Okay? Now, when it comes to kashrus, we have major issues. Major, major questions over here. Because a person thinks that they're firmer than they know everything, and they go to the amusement parks, and I can tell you this, mamash would be edus, I've done this research, I've gone to it, and you'll be, I'll tell you a story, mamash kachava. I'm sorry, chatazi ani maskir hayom, this is why I shouldn't be a Rebbe, but I used to love hot pretzels. My favorite was hot pretzels in New York City. They have these stands and they sell the hot pretzels. Oh, I love them. So, this was before I was bar mitzvah. I used to here and there dabble in it. My grandparents lived in the city, so I used to buy here. And one time I remember going and I got it. And I went to the place and I came back. And my father says, what happened? I said, I don't think I'm eating pretzels anymore. What happened? So I figured out how they made the hot pretzels. They get it frozen, super pretzel, 100% OU. You see the box. Mamish, the box is there. You see the OU. The guy took it out, and you know how it's on those one of those things that goes around? There's nothing wrong with that. What are you going to tell me? Because he put pork on there sometimes? I don't think that's a far chashash. But what does he do? It comes frozen. That thing's not going to make it hot. He put it inside the warmer that he makes the hot dogs in. He opened up a drawer. I saw that there were. I was like shocked that I've been eating tarfas all this time. Mamish, treif mamish. I once went to a sporting event. I forgot it was the Knicks or the Nets, one of those two. And guess what, Rabbi Yisai? I asked them how they make the pretzels. They told me the same story. We take the super pretzel, OU, out of the box. It's frozen. We put it in the oven together with all the hamburgers and hot dogs, all the things that are being made. Treif, mamish. Big, big problem. So you shouldn't be firm and then, you know, you got to know what's going on over here. So I heard already, guys told me, that the great Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Adler, said that in TABC, I heard the same thing in DRS, they won't let these little cars come, these little trucks with ice cream, even though the guy Mohammed's got in his window, you know, that's OU in it. Says, who knows? You know what was in before and after? You have no idea. And you saw him pour it in and there was clean, but you don't know what's going on there. He's got no regular hashgacha. It's not a kosher place. You walk into a place. I was in, just with my wife, the Middletown Mall. And in the Middletown Mall, there's a sign at an ice cream place. I think they can get in trouble because I think they violated a trademark. And it says on the sign, in accordance with the strict policies of the OU, all of our products are OU. They don't have permission to. I don't think they have permission. I should have taken a picture and said it earlier. I don't know if they have permission to do that. Right? So, okay, you want to be B'shas, we'll see in a moment about B'shas Atcha, and say, I'm in Syracuse Mall, and there's only, what's that frog place called? The frozen yogurt place, and they show me all the. Okay, maybe you could say B'shas Atcha, but there could be some serious problems over there. Now comes along the Starbucks shot. This is fascinating shot. As I told you before, I preface again, I'm not an expert on this. I don't know. I think I spent hours researching it. I don't know who's the up and up now. I don't know if it's, you know, the CRC against the Starcade now. This one says this one says that. Who had more information? And then most of the stuff is under the OU. So why is the OU not coming out and telling me what's going on with Starbucks? I don't know. All I know is I have a student who used to work there. I have a student actually whose grandfather is in the business together with Mr. Schultz. So he knew a lot about this. I asked him to do some research for me. He used to work there as a, what do they call them? Baratista, whatever that's called. He told me the whole gazang, gazang, gazach. Where this came to the floor, I mean, this is years ago now, over 10 years ago, where the CRC came out and said, oh, guess what? We just found out something fascinating. This was the big raid that everybody talked about. It only in Starbucks. They did a wash of the tarfus that they sell. I'm talking about the general Starbucks. CRC makes a difference between the regular Starbucks and the ones at the airports or kiosks, which is much smaller. Even if they sell tarfus, they don't clean in the same way. So what they do is like this. You order a ham sandwich, mamish ham, okay? I take the ham sandwich, they put it in an oven to make it, and he takes it out with the tongs, and it went hot, matzo lettuce bowl, 100%, over 120 degrees, and it goes on to the plate. And now I put the plate, and I wash it together. So here in source number 8, there's a famous Shulchan Aruch that writes, in Basar V'chalav Simon Samachay, so he says, yearly, it appears to me, she'im not to offer b'mayim. What's offer mean? Offer in those days, or what today we have, is dish soap or some sort of, what do you put in the dishwasher? Not detergent. You don't put detergent in there. Where do you put it in there? Okay, thank you. You know as much as I do. Offer b'mayim, chamim, shebira kodim she'anicho, so you put it in before you start the process. So then what happens? Right? It's going to be nosin tam lefgam. It's going to make it disgusting. Even though it's in the wash itself, now it makes it into a bad taste. The bad taste is nosin tam lefgam, and therefore what? The not bar not, if you want to call it. It goes ahead and it makes it something that is not roi lachila, and therefore you have no issue. Comes along Starbucks and they say, that's not the way we do it. They have three forms of wash. The first, now the machlok is the first or it's the third. One of the washes, they just do hot boiling water. Over Yatz lettuce bowl, 180 degrees, and it's there. You got the bacon, tongs with the little pieces of bacon on it, and your whatever they're using for the coffee itself. I forgot what they call them, the canisters, whatever it is. And they're in the water together, and their mom is dancing together, and everything's hitting each other, and it's awesome. So that mastama could be a big, big problem. So someone, a taina that the Shulchan Aruch, in the plain reading of this Shulchan Aruch here, is saying, no, as long as at one process you're going to put in a little dish soap, it's going to be okay. The Chazon Ish here in source number 9 vehemently disagrees with this Shulchan Aruch. It says that's no way. It probably is the Shach and the Taz is cholik on this. Nobody holds like Nasu Davar Mar should be Gedeir Nisvar. He goes, for sure it's going to be Usar. There's no heter over here to go ahead and say that. Yesh Lachoshagam. There's going to be an issue of pagam. There's what he says. Really, there's no pagam going to be over there, and there's going to be a problem. So many say the Chasun Ish before it says that this is usur. Then Starbucks would be usur if this is the way it's made. It's only on certain drinks, and that's what the whole list. If you go onto the website now, the Star K, even the CRC still has what you can get, but you can't. Some of these are going to be a problem, as opposed to say the latte, which has in that thing that you have different issues here. I write in source number 6. About here in Yoredeah Simon Salach Gimel, another potential issue that you have as well. The imbishal ba betoch leit leit also benosim tan. Again, what nosim tan b'vgam is or not? Is it nosim tan? Is it kli rishon kli sheni? Source number 7 taruvus here in Simon Chafei Kufhei. Chom shall rishon or sheni. It's going to be depending on what that spout is. Is it considered kli rishon? Some say no, it's already kli rishon. So then, when it goes in the cup, it's kli sheni. A lot of shtickel Torah. I wish we had time to delve into it as much as I research it. But bottom line is the following chiddush. Rav Shechter was asked this question, and Rav Shechter said he doesn't think that a kashrus agency like the OU, like the CRC, like the Star K, can go ahead and ask for something because of this chumr of the Chazon Ish. There is a Shulchan Aruch out there. And the Shulchan Aruch does say that as long as the process has in it some sort of soap, even if it's the second, even if already it was noticed, it's still going to be not a problem. And therefore, it's hard to say that it's also. This is Rav Shechter's Chiddush. Furthermore, this is really amazing, is source number 10, is the Chiddush of Rav Heinemann, who's the head, of course, of the Star K. Great, great Poisek. He paskins that when someone is traveling, he's considered to be the Evid situation. That if a person's traveling, he's on his way, he's in the Syracuse Mall, is a great example. I have nothing to eat. I just want coffee. It would be mutter for him to have Starbucks coffee. Right? Therefore, airports and gas stations, so on and so forth. And the Psak is based on the Yad Ephraim, who quotes the Noda Yehuda, who discussed this question before Starbucks was ever a star in a box, and before the Arabs accused the woman on Starbucks to be Queen Esther, and the Jews own everything. In Prague in the 18th century, they had a thing for coffee. The question of the case revolved around the permissibility. If it was permissible in those days, they didn't have paper cups. So now that no same time of God, you can have it in the glasses they're using, non-Chalv Yisrael. Everybody's makbana Chalv Yisrael in those days. Maybe there was no other option. Obviously, they didn't have Rav Moshe's Heter there that we have here in the United States. So, and he allowed it. So he says, maybe it would be allowed in this case because you're considered to be a traveler, and that's why I allowed it because everybody wants coffee. So there's a great share online, Rabbi Yaakov Chubb, he had a great joke, and he said, you're going to tell me that a traveler is going to be the Evid to have what? A frappuccino, a latte? Okay, a coffee. You have to have the whole ganze Geschäft with the whole thing? And that's not fair. Besides the fact, you have to really see which items are kosher or not. Again, there's a list now the CRC puts out, just like with Slurpees and other things. Although I did see an article written, Mamish, last week in one of these Catskill journals by the OU, where they wrote, you got to be really careful even when it comes to going to your local store, right? This is good. You're going to I'm not talking about a 7-Eleven that has to keep to a franchise agreement, but you go to a local place, and the local place now happens to have their icy machine. You know, icy is OU, that could happen. He says sometimes they put in regular stuff there that's not icy, just has icy on it. He says, okay, if it says Coca-Cola, they have to keep to Coca-Cola. Sometimes they don't, because you have to be very careful. That's what they wrote. You have to be a little bit more careful when it comes to these things. Now, this is besides the Shiloh, whether or not coffee is actually mutter at all. This is, thank God we have the Orach HaShulchan. Chai Adam doesn't agree with us. The famous Chai Adam, Rav Shechter likes to quote, that going to coffee houses is usher nowadays, but the Aruch HaShulchan was famous, as others said, that it's not considered to be Bishul Akum. So you might even get off the ground with Bishul Akum. Okay, but all these things are probably not going to be an issue nowadays either. The CRC, I think it was 2 years ago, he had a Chiddush, Rav Fishbein, who's one of the heads, Fishbein, and he says, oh, I found a Chiddush, you can make something called the Kid Latte. The Kitty Latte is under 180 degrees, and that would be a Chiddush. Okay, fine, there's all these different ways to potentially get around. Again, Linnaeus Daiti Akoton, what are you going to these places for when we have so many kosher places? Mom, you have Central Avenue, you have a Starbucks, and down the block you have Crawford's. It's under good hashgacha. I'm not saying Central Perk is also good. I don't know any other places there. You can go to Toddy's. It's good. Right? But I'm saying, but you're having, so you go to the city. Now, I know they're closing now, but in L.A., someone just told me this. All the tea leaf coffee beans, they're all kosher, and you got to go to the Starbucks. Why? You have a place that has a Mamash Hashgacha. It seems to be crazy. What do you need to go to do to do that? Again, Shas L'Chag, the person's in great adventure and he's dug for something and he goes and he sees the ice in it. Okay, but why do we, should we make, especially in cases where mamish could be tarfus. Mamish. Not joking over here. So you have to be very, very careful with these things and don't go ahead and make, you know, we don't know. If you don't know, you don't know. You can't go ahead and say, well, it's only nuzrix. What could it be? How bad can it be? I think that's really pushing it a bit. Yeah.
We buy the same thing to Dunkin' Donuts that aren't kosher.
I don't like this either. I know this is what we do here. I know that people go to the Starbucks here. I'm sorry, the Dunkin' Donuts here.
Right.
So, you know, again, I don't think it's Maris Ayin. Someone tied it to me. I was talking about it to some people over Shabbos. They said, I wouldn't go to the one over here by Speedway. Yeah? I wouldn't go there because it's Maris Ayin. People are going to think, I actually went there with my kid because I, you know, 75 cent, 52 ounce kazoda. I love it. So I'm on a two right now. And so he said to me, you know, it's a big problem. It's a Shiloh. So I said to him, why is it a Shiloh? So he says, because I was there with my kid, and my kid said to me, well, I don't understand, why can't we get donuts? We just had donuts 4 weeks ago when we were in Five Towns. So I don't think it's Maris Ayin. So there, I mean, I'll tell you what I do. I don't drink coffee, so this is not a shot for me at all. But when I get for my wife, so I get only the regular coffee, and there they have the shots of the mocha and all the things.
All you get, OUs,
you
right?
See them. You see them there. I don't know if they all have OUs, but I asked to look at it. They're very gracious to show it to you. All they're doing is putting the shot in, you're having the regular coffee. It almost, coffee everywhere is kosher. Now that people tie into that, that's not really true because they use plastic. I don't know. But that used to be the psak.
The special drinks aren't just like powder that's from the factory. They just put it in
plastic. Yeah, so I just want to tell you, but so, the Ikar Shiloh is like this. If you're in a Bishasas Chak situation, okay, not you're on Central Avenue, you go, oh my God, the line's too long in Crawford's. So I'm going to go to, so I don't think that's good enough. But you're in a Shasas Chak situation where you're somewhere where, okay, so then you find all these things out. I think that's totally fine. I found myself once in the Cayman Islands. I was on a business trip there. Okay? And yeah, I was on a business trip. Long story, not for now. We got Dr. Meyer. We're holding up the whole steamer. So, I was in the Cayman Islands, and I got shipped Noah's Ark. Unfortunately, it didn't come on time. The plane was delayed. And it came the next day. And, ooh, did that smell, that stuff. And the guy, I said, what do you even deliver it for? It smells this guy. He goes, kosher food. I don't know what it's supposed to smell like. Anyway, so we had nothing to eat. There happened to be a TCBY down the block from where we were staying. So I went there and I was mavar every single thing. I told them, I said, you know, I wasn't even a rabbi then. I said, I'm a rabbi and I have to be and they let me do the whole thing. And it was kosher, but that was Shabbos Chak. I was just sitting there, you know, I had no choice. But in a regular situation, what are you going about? You don't know, I'm not sure. Ah, it's probably okay. What a probably, that you want to live your life as a probably Jew? That's not good. Okay, let's go down, Meyer.